Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody. Welcome to Movie Mavericks Podcast, episode 273, where the movie talk is not stuffy at all. I'm Trevor Anderson. I'm going to send you over to Jason Rugard. I think he's got a rundown for us.
On today's episode, we have 9 news items, 10 movie reviews, and 7 trailers.
Oh,
that
my.
Is a lot of things going on this episode. Let's get right to it and get into that box office ace game.
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
No, no. Fuck HSX.com. We're playing the boxofficeace.com game. And someday I'll switch that, I swear.
And if you're not playing this game yet, you're just an asshole. Because you've been listening to this for this long and you haven't gone over to Box Office Ace.
So many people have gone over to HSX.com.
And looked for the Box Office Ace game.
I'm the asshole. I'm sorry.
You're an asshole.
Boxofficeace.com. So.
Did you beat me last week?
No.
Are you an asshole?
Last week is all fucked up. No, I didn't. I think that. Yeah, I mean, I think you beat me last week, right?
Well, then I'm the asshole.
Am I wrong? I think I killed one movie. I think I killed Insidious, and that was it. Spy, obviously, I was way off on because it did low.
Fairly off on that. But I think the most surprising is that Entourage started so quickly midweek and then tapered off very quickly.
How did it only do $10.2 million?
It's kind of sad.
It's very sad.
Does this struggle now to get $50 million? Most likely. And
But does it? I mean, it kind of makes sense. If it hadn't opened, I really don't know why I tried to get out of the way. I guess in hindsight, right? There was no reason to get out of the way of Spy or Insidious Chapter 3, was there? But if you look at the total gross through that weekend, you know, $17.6 million is decent, probably about what you would expect it to have done if it had opened on Friday rather than Wednesday, right?
Yeah, so it did get out in front of the pack and claim the number one spot for its opening day.
I think it did what it was supposed to do.
Spy, riding a wave of great reviews and great word of mouth. Everything I've heard has been very, very positive.
Why so low then? Why below $30 million?
I think because there might be a little bit of fatigue with McCarthy setting in at this point. Kind of been there, done that factor. Sadly, though, this has gotten great reviews. So I hope this isn't the one
that
kills the goose.
Did $29 million. If it had gotten bad reviews, it would have done $40 million.
Right, because Tammy did very well last summer. I mean, that parlayed a $20 million, $30 million opening to $80 million. So
the big chomper out there is Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah, this
Jurassic
is the weekend.
World, excuse me, Jurassic World, which is coming out. Technically today.
You excited for this one?
I am super excited.
I'd like to see this. Oh. I just to hear that John Williams score on a big screen again. Yeah, and the speakers and
I cannot. Oh, did he do the score for this?
He better, because they're reusing that theme quite a bit in the trailers.
I feel like he did.
I think he did.
And
if not,
someone else did the Star Wars score. I could be wrong. Or he did the Star Wars one, and someone else did this. No, he did this one.
Yeah, Giacchino. I think Michael Giacchino is doing the Star Wars one. Who's done very well with the Star Trek one. But this is
poised
for a big opening weekend. What a lot of analysts are thinking is the third highest weekend of the year. I think very much in that range with them. What'd you go for this one? What do you think in this 3 days?
I'm going to say 125.
Well, I'm right in line with that. I'm going 127.
As high as 150, which is ridiculous, right?
I don't think so,
Am I wrong? You think that 150 is a possibility?
I think if people were that excited about Furious 7 to propel that to nearly 150, there is a chance.
I disagree, because Chris Pratt did not die during the making of this movie.
Yes, but there is a nostalgia factor that's kicked in with this.
I don't think – but that nostalgia factor obviously is not part of Furious 7.
Are you saying that there's no coolness factor?
Well, there's a huge coolness factor in this. Are you saying $125 million is not cool?
Oh, hey, that's a cool 125, yeah.
Look, I don't think that this is going to be any. Fast and Furious 7, which we'll talk a little bit about, unless you want to just hit the news of that now.
Yeah, we'll just jump into that now. That is now chasing the Avengers for number 3 all time.
For obvious reasons, right? I mean, much for the same reasons that, the Dark Knight did what it did, right?
Right, for the morbid curiosity factor?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, The Dark Knight at least had a wonderful performance by Heath Ledger. Furious 7, I, you know, wish I could say the same for Paul Walker, but he's just not in it.
Yeah, they're clearly covering up for something obvious there. But this movie now, it has little competition in the way of big blockbuster fare in its wake. The Rock in San Andreas is done very well for itself, but is falling off at a 50% ratio.
Even so Jurassic World won't hit these numbers. This is it's monstrous.
I think Jurassic World has a shot at a billion. I really do.
Worldwide. Of course it does. But what's Furious 7 at?
1.5, and even the Avengers 2 is having a rough time catching it. Mm-hmm. It's still 200 million behind.
Which tells you something about how much of a fluke that Furious 7 is. Because there's no reason. If Paul Walker hadn't died, would this movie be doing this? It's a good question to ask. And the answer is, you know, should be unanimously no.
I agree.
And I think it's the truth. You know, it's just no.
I agree.
The movie would not be doing this well.
That's not a knock on Walker, who we're both fans of, or any of that kind of stuff.
I love Paul Walker. I love Vin Diesel. I love the whole cast, The Rock.
What you're saying is when this happened with The Dark Knight, that was a better film altogether. So it's understandable.
And at that point, we also had a different relationship between foreign and domestic still. You know, we still had a domestic percentage plus, I guess. I don't know what you would say. You know, it was more important domestic wise than foreign, right? Had The Dark Knight been released today and Heath Ledger had died, then the foreign marketplace probably would have risen that to $2 billion, right?
Yeah, an astronomical level.
Yeah, just as it's doing now.
All right, let's move on. Let's look at Las Goss here. But if you haven't done so, go to Box Office Ace, get in this prediction game. Jurassic World out this weekend. Go out and see it so that my prediction comes true and not Trevor's. We need more people seeing it.
You only need a couple more people. Otherwise, you're going to be fucked. Don't talk them into a $150 million opening.
If you guys make this $150 million opening, I will be pissed. It's already doing great in China, though. That's what I'm hearing. All right, what do we got for the news here? Oh, I think this is an interesting one. After years of talk, Bad Boys 3 is looking like it's going to be a go at Sony, with Joe Carnahan doing a script rewrite and possibly directing that piece. It would be the first one not directed by Michael Bay in the series, and they're hoping to woo Will Smith back after he completes Suicide Squad.
Because that's the only way to get this movie made, right? Is to not have Michael Bay direct it.
Is that the holdup, you think? That's why.
It's got to be, right? Because how many times have both Martin and Smith have said, okay, at some point in here in time, and it's always been kind of hinging on Michael Bay. He's been playing with his robots for so long and this and that and everything else. It doesn't seem like he's too interested in doing a third one.
Which is a shame, because I hope that when they finally release this third one, we get the second one on Blu-ray. There I go, stumping again for the Bad Boys 2 Blu-ray.
I'm looking for a True Lies Bad Boys 2.
Combo pack.
Combo package. Yeah, nah. It's just Michael Bay, you know.
At the same time, Disney has pulled the plug on Tron 3, which, much to your chagrin, I imagine.
That makes sense to me, actually. I don't even understand how they greenlit it. In reality, was never really truly greenlit.
It was speculative.
No one was doing anything on it, you know? And I don't think, also, it doesn't have any... it has nothing to do with whether Tron 3 ever gets made, right? And Tron 2 has to do with that. This was killed because of Tomorrowland not doing so well. But when you're Disney and you have investors and you have stockholders and stuff, you have to slate your upcoming movies based on that, right? And so they can't have a Tron 3 on the table at this point because of that. You know, it has nothing to do with maybe they're going to make Tron 3, maybe they're not. They just can't have it on the table at this point.
Hollywood Reporter had a great article this week on Disney's $140 million write-off on Tomorrowland and how it hasn't affected the stock prices because of things like...
prices are way up.
Because of the Avengers and things that. Really, it helped it. But this is a huge,
more than they should be,
huge write-down for them, though. $140 million loss on what is another original concept. So it's kind of a bittersweet loss, I think, in a lot of ways, because a lesson should be learned. But then again, you can't have original product being totally stopped.
Well, when you have – I mean, this is something that they warned about, right? Obviously, George Lucas, Spielberg. We've been through the whole thing of these big-budget movies and them piling money onto just an idea and nothing more. And Disney is probably the most at risk for this, you know, as far as most of the other studios go, because they're pushing characters, they're pushing, you know, ancillary stuff, things that they could make money on in theme parks and whatnot. So they're really pushing ideas.
Yeah, concepts that turn into themes, that turn into theme parks. Yeah,
and putting it into movies, you know, to push the theme parks. You know, they're really, they're pushing that whole cynicism type, or I don't know what you call it. What is that called?
Not synergy.
Synergy. Yes, exactly right.
It could be cynicism though, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, it is
synergistic
for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Equalizer is finally getting a sequel because I know everyone was clamoring for that.
Original cast coming back.
Yeah, and Fuqua, from what I'm hearing, who decided not to do The Olympus Has Fallen.
I loved The Equalizer.
Sequel.
Great film. We talked about it already.
I know, but I didn't know you loved it so much that you want a sequel. You want to spend the 2 hours of that world?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I thought it was a great world. I thought Denzel was great in it. I was kind of blown away by it. And if they do another one, then I'm fine with that. It's not a movie that's big, right? Obviously it's a small movie, but I love those kinds of small detective type movies, and he's kind of a detective
in a lot of ways, he's a very mannered character too in a lot of ways. Plays it and I loved that about it, but I just thought that it was a good one-off. I didn't think that it was sequel ready for but then again, it's based on a television show, so I guess
for someone talking about you want to see whatever The Mechanic too.
That's true.
It's almost the exact same thing, really.
Small pleasures. Hey, but The Equalizer is a lot more intelligent than The Mechanic.
It was. I don't know about The Mechanic 2. Mechanic 2 looks pretty good. So,
Kingsman is getting a sequel, though. This is, I welcome,
but
with open arms.
Or maybe a surprise. I would say no surprise, but maybe a surprise, right? Because of the box office success. Or sexess, I don't know, whatever you want to say, of the first one, right?
$400 million worldwide is huge.
It was
huge.
Surprising.
excuse me, and well deserved, because I really, I gave it a 4-star review. I loved this movie, one of my favorite of the year so far.
I haven't seen it yet, but I did see
Kick Ass. It really is, and I don't mean that just as a reference to Matthew Vaughn's other movie, but this is just great.
Yeah, Matthew Vaughn's great, but I did finally see a trailer for it that actually explained it.
I
thought was too little too late, really, because all the trailers I saw going up to that didn't explain the story, and it's not until the DVD that I get the trailers that explain what the hell's going on.
And I thought the story was not part of even the point. It's just the kind of
humor
of it, the style of it.
Sure.
It's XXX, basically.
Which is what Matthew Vaughn kind of does, you know?
Yeah, he spins things.
Yeah. Creates a world that you like to look at.
We got a slew of remakes coming at us too here in the
coming
years. They're going to remake Sister Act. Can you believe this?
You know what? I'm okay with that as long as they put Whoopi Goldberg back in it.
Fuck that.
She's available.
She has to be the mother nun at this point, right? She got to be the mother hen.
You know what? I loved Sister Act when it came out.
I saw it a lot.
Just
I
because,
never loved it.
Well, you know. So there you go. So you did.
But
it
was always on at people's houses.
I liked Whoopi Goldberg only because I really loved Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Yeah, there's a reference for you. That's like saying you like Burglar. I mean, wow.
No, it's not. It's nothing like Burglar.
Jumpin' Jack. Her and Sam
Jumpin'
Elliot?
Jack Flash is awesome. It's a wonderful idea. You're laughing.
I don't
at
think Whoopi Goldberg likes Jumpin' Jack Flash.
She's an idiot. Then Jumpin' Jack Flash is awesome, and it would be a great movie to remake. I think it doesn't have to be her. The idea of the movie
Holy
is great.
Shit.
Is what I would say would be great.
Is that the movie where she's in the phone booth and she's
yes!
I'm a little black woman in a big white box. I remember that from the trailer as a kid.
I'm not saying necessarily. The movie is so amazing, but the idea of it, I love Jump Shack Flash. I would love to have that remade. You know, it's kind of like Spy, I guess, really. You know, Melissa McCarthy making Spy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that basically.
You know, you threw me off my whole game with that one. You screwed me all up there.
Keep going. I could do Whoopi Goldberg all day. What's the T-Rex one? I love that one.
Oh, remember, how about Fatal Beauty? I mean, where you got on that one, huh?
Fuck that. The one with the dinosaur is the best one. What is that one called? Man.
Isn't it Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Is it the T-Rex one? Is that what it's called?
It's something Rex.
It is something Rex.
It's terrible. How about Karina? I mean, we can go do this all day. We all go back and forth with you.
I love Whoopi.
I'm sure. We make Whoopi all day long. but Eddie was, I think, the low point in everyone's life, so we'll just leave it at that. But Dwayne Johnson, who's having incredible success this year, is bound to have more success here because he wants to redo, remake, reproduce, whatever you want to call it, Big Trouble in Little China.
He wants to, as if he's the deciding factor in this.
Exactly. And this is a Fox decision, and Fox is keen on him right now, and he's keen on this movie, so he pitched it
he
as
said
a great...
He wants Carpenter to come back, but I think the chances are low of that.
I think it's a good idea because Johnson could pull off, obviously, the smart aleck stuff, but the idea behind Big Trouble was that he's not the
really,
hero.
Not really like Kurt Russell.
No, well, come on. Kurt Russell's doing a John Wayne impersonation, which is great.
I don't think he's a Kurt Russell, at all.
He's no Kurt Russell. He may be able to bench press a Buick, but he is
Well, the
no
original, I mean, let's be honest, the original just kind of fell into place. You know, all elements fell into place, right? And it was perfect in a way, the way that everything came together. I don't think they're going to be able to recreate that.
If you ever listen to the running commentary on the DVD for Big Trouble in Little China, it's a classic conversation between Russell and Carpenter. And they speculate on the whole Fox marketing of this. And their ad campaign was, who is Jack Burton? And John Carpenter says he was watching television one day and this trailer comes on and says, who is Jack Burton? And he even said, who gives a shit? And he knew his movie was bombed at that point. You know, so he was the guy that made it. All right, so let's move on and talk about Clint Eastwood, who is going to make a movie about the Miracle on the Hudson landing. This is Captain Sully Sullenberg.
Fuck this.
And, You're not with this?
No, this sounds dumb. I don't want to watch this movie.
I'd watch it just because this guy drinks at my bar.
You know what? Fuck Sully. He's not anything great.
Oh, I mean,
didn't they already? I mean, isn't Flight already this?
Flight is very similar, and I'll tell you what.
It is this.
This guy never has to pay for a drink ever again. That's true.
And
that's a real
true.
Line. I've seen that. No,
bullshit, though.
He denies every single one of them. I'll tell you that.
No,
but
give it time. Give it time. No one will know who the fuck he is.
Oh, this guy's a fucking hero. Are you kidding me? This guy saved lives, man. Oh,
give it
time. I gotta agree with you on this.
He will not be offered drinks.
I think this is reactionary,
unless
though, because
he
of American
is out there
Sniper.
Like, this is me. Oh, you think they're making this movie because of that?
I think Eastwood's interested in American hero stories. Or what he's viewing
sure,
as
to a point,
heroic
but
stories.
You know what? I'm going to disagree with that. That this is being greenlit, or this is being pushed because of American Sniper. This has no chance of making American Sniper money.
I didn't say money wise. I'm just saying in the same vein of that kind of.
But he has, to be fair, he could probably be like, I want to make the Ron Jeremy story, and they'd fucking let him do it, right? At this point.
On that now. I'm dead serious. We can crowdfund that right now.
I mean, Warner Brothers is basically going to do whatever he wants, right? Because he's earned it.
How many movies he got into him? I mean, this guy's my inspiration already. He's going to be directing until he's 112.
Well, when do you ever not have a movie in you? Well,
I have movies in me all day. That's true.
I'm, literally, fucked by movies all the time. They're inside me.
I don't want to fuck this over.
They're just there.
You know that they're releasing Terminator on the big screen again? Did you hear this? Of course you heard.
Yes, of course.
I told you. That's my lead-in, right? That you step in, I'm fetching. Oh. I'm going to go see this on Wednesday. I encourage anyone out there who's got a part of the cinema series or theater that has access to this.
2 days, right? 17th and then
Saturday? I believe the 14th and the 17th at 2 o'clock.
Wednesday
and
Saturday or something? Like that?
Sunday and Wednesday.
Sunday and Wednesday.
Sunday and Wednesday of this coming week, the 17th and the 14th of June.
And these
are showing the Terminator.
Cinemark owned theaters, so Cinemark Century.
This is a great because I've been complaining that they don't do enough more recent films, and they're doing Spaceballs, they're doing Gremlins, of course they're doing Jaws, which I think Jaws warrants a big.
But Jaws is for the 40th anniversary, so
correct. I what do you think about that? You think that plays well on the big screen still?
Fuck yeah, Jaws is a masterpiece.
It is absolute masterpiece.
I mean, yes, Jaws plays well anywhere, anytime, of the day. It's one of those movies that is just a true masterpiece.
You know, as in school, in film school, when you and I were in there, they would reference that movie as often as Citizen Kane or Psycho for
this
shots or editing or whatever, what may have you. So that is an absolute classic.
I mean, if you want to get real nerdy, then Duel would be... obviously even right in there with Jaws, and I would recommend Duel, which is awesome.
I'm a big Sugarland Express fan. I don't know why.
Good movie as well, but often forgotten.
off forgotten.
Spielberg flick, yeah.
The one I can never get through. Actually, there's two Spielberg movies.
With The Color Purple?
No, I can watch The Color Purple and even Empire.
You can't say it, but you can
That's
watch
your girl, Whoopi.
It.
I got stuck on that Jumpin' Jack Flash is still fucking with me, man. I'm telling you. The two I can never get through anymore are Hook and 1941. I cannot get
1941
through.
1941 is rough.
Hook is just as bad.
Really? No, I've seen Hook recently. It's not that bad.
Oh, that first 45 minutes is deadly. It's deadly.
Yeah, but nothing beats Jurassic Park, man.
There's a lot to beat. I mean, I agree, but Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom is a goddamn thrill ride, too.
That's great, too.
Great Spielberg stuff. We'll be talking about a Spielberg.
Still like Jurassic Park better.
His new film with Tom Hanks later on the show in the trailer part. But let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with some reviews of some of the latest movies out and on DVD.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Check out the Blueprint Review podcast at blueprintreview.co.uk. This could be interesting because I know we've got some very diverse people. I'm going to be arguing with Darren a lot.
Like, I think it's going to be me v. you, Laura, with maybe Laura set in the middle.
To be honest, I think it's about expectation. Yeah. Like, I think...
Yeah, I expected it to
be... Is it fair that they have English accents?
I feel like they have more authority because they have English accents.
We should start doing with English accents.
Sponsored by The Cure, I feel like.
Hey there.
Jesus.
I really love Jurassic Park.
Alrighty. Let's talk about San Andreas quickly here. I saw that this week, and I gave it a positive review on the site.
Reviews? What are you talking about San Andreas?
Yeah.
News or reviews?
This is reviews.
Okay.
We already did news. Where have you been?
I don't know. I thought you already talked about San Andreas. I'm so used. I think I read the review.
Yeah, I think you did, and we got ahead of it.
Which is why I think I heard it. Okay.
I was just going to give it a review because of the fact that it's dumb fun for the summer, and this is the kind of movies that play well during the summertime. It's popcorn flicks, commercialism at its Hollywood's finest. It's really slickly produced, and The Rock is engaging, and it's smarter than it needs to be in places.
And Carla Gugino's hot.
Carla Gugino has always been hot. Is it just I said that as I walked out of the movie theater?
She gets hotter and hotter
as she ages.
Everyone does nowadays. I can't explain it. It's inexplicable. But
I'm not playing with you. She's been banging for days.
I know. Sin City. I mean, go even beyond that. I mean, even her deal in Entourage. I can go on and on. I love this girl.
I want to know. We should do a podcast about undercover hot shit. Her, Rooney Mara. who's a couple other ones? There's a bunch like that. I'm glad you brought that up as well. But hey, San Andreas and the Strength of Carla Gugino. There you go. See it. What'd you see?
Wow. I don't know. I have to look up the thing. Oh, here it is. I saw Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Which I gave a minor...
Which you say 2.5 stars, I believe you gave, too. And said thumbs down, possibly?
Yeah, I was on the fence, but I went thumbs down, ultimately.
I'll meet your 2.5 stars, but I'll give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, okay. So you were right there on the fence, but you went up.
It's not a very good movie, but I did find it funny.
But it makes you laugh, the damn thing, right?
I did find it funny, and in the end... I felt good when it ended, so I thought, all right. You know, I didn't earn its good feeling ending, but it still made me feel good, so I do give it a thumbs up, but still only 2.5 stars. Really,
it's a mess of a movie, correct?
It is, but I don't know that it's out of place for a movie titled Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
That's what I'm saying. I thought the way that they threw one-liners and insults at one another was the highlight of the movie and the way that they were merciless.
I liked how they dealt with time, though, in this. They dealt with time a lot better than a lot of time-traveling movies that are serious. So
they did
explain it. They were like in the future and the past. They made it kind of funny, you know, and they did. And everything made sense. So I got to hand them that, at least.
You didn't think the Adam Scott character was a little much?
No more much than the Rob Corddry character.
Well, I mean, Bluegel is my
Jesus
man.
Jesus Christ.
I mean,
ridiculous characters.
But the movie centers around his penis, does it not? I mean, really.
to a point. I mean, they do get off that, but yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, the Robinson stuff with him singing is hysterical.
I thought the reality show was in bad taste at first, too. But then it made me laugh
that
out loud.
That was so funny.
Yeah, it really did.
There were parts of it that were funny. Even when they drained his balls, I thought that was funny.
I know,
I couldn't,
I'm telling you.
You know, it was just moment after moment with laughing, but it's not a very good movie. So.
But I ultimately gave it thumbs down for that. You ultimately went thumbs up for it. So
I think
mean,
it's a thumbs up because I think it's worth watching and then just, you know, stomping on the disc later. But
yeah.
Still.
It's not worthwhile. Not the worst thing in the world, that's for sure. I saw Love and Mercy just recently, which is the Brian Wilson story. This stars John Cusack and Paul Dano. This is the Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. His life, it shows him as a 19-year-old man when he's making his creative breakthrough on the Pet Sounds Beach Boys album. And then and it's about his 40-year-old man when he's doing his personal breakthrough with a relationship. And Elizabeth Banks is in this as well. And she really is kind of
amazing.
She's fantastic.
Is she good in this?
She's good
in everything.
I mean, I was surprised because I haven't seen her in a lot of dramatic work, but she hinted in Zack and Miri, the tenderness there, and she brings that to this role. Her and Cusack are fantastic together. She does at least Golden Globe worthy work here, as does Cusack, and Dano is full on Oscar worthy. The movie is great. I was mesmerized by it. I honestly saw this because it was so fucking hot the other day here. I had to go get some air conditioning.
So
I
his
stepped
story
into this and was mesmerized.
Is interesting enough to warrant a movie.
Absolutely. I say this is as good as any other musical biopic that I've seen recently, and much better than that really shitty Jimi Hendrix
fair,
one.
I was going
to
say, what music biopics have you seen recently?
I liked Jersey Boys last summer. No
oh,
one else
Jesus
did.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The James Brown one was okay, but not as good as this. This was fantastic. I highly recommend this.
This
4 stars.
Good, so. All right.
One of the best of the year so far.
Cool.
So you saw Taken, huh?
I've seen Taken 2, and I've recently seen Taken 3. And I gotta be honest, it's fucking bad.
Is it getting worse as they go along?
I thought they were getting better. You know, the first one was okay.
Oh, I love that.
But I have problems with it. And it's really not that great of a fucking movie. The second one I thought was a little bit better. This movie is fucking horrendous. I mean, this thing is just an excuse to make a movie. He does everything just because it happens in other action movies. You know, he gets framed for something and then beats the cops up when they come to arrest him and runs. And you think, why? Why are you running from the cops? They're trying to figure it out too. They don't know that you're good or bad. You could explain to them what is happening, right? And Forrest Whitaker is trying to figure it out. He is the cop. And he's like, I'm running. And then Forrest Whitaker shows up and he's like, he beat you all up, but he didn't kill any of you. Oh, he must be a good guy. It's shit like that. You're just like, what the fuck is the point of this? You know, I'm not a 12-year-old watching a fucking movie here. I'm an adult. You can make a movie for an adult, and it can be smart.
Well, this sounds like it was terrible. I'm glad
that is not
this.
Taken 3. No, it's the whole fucking movie's like that.
I never saw
not
the
only
second
that,
one.
But I really like the second one, but the trailer for Taken 3, I thought, we both thought it looked like an action movie. That shit's not in here. It's not an action movie. He runs around and does nothing the whole time. And they kill a character that you're just like, why? There was no reason to even kill this person other than to create some shitty plot twist that is just, you know, blatant from the beginning. It's just a bad movie.
You should see Run All Night, which was the other Liam Neeson movie that's it'll be coming out soon on home
I
video.
Will.
So.
Is that, are you trying to tell me that's similar? Or
no, I'm just saying, I wonder if that was harmed from in the box office because of Taken, which did very well for
this did
being
really
a sequel.
Well. I'm surprised. It's really, but it's
but
really
I've never
bad,
heard anyone
though.
Say anything good about it. So check out Run All Night and see if you think that's a little bit better. Hey, you saw The Judge recently, which I gave a good review last year. I put it on one of my 10 best of last year. I really liked The Judge. Where do you stand on this one?
It's okay. The Judge to me is doesn't know what it is. Is it a family drama? Is it a courtroom drama? I still don't know. You know, and it's so fucking long. So much shit could be cut from this, and it could be much better. Personally, I would have loved to have this have been the courtroom drama. Because I felt like that was the most
it's
that
compelling.
worked the most, but it really didn't get enough things. I will say the scene, I mean, the best scene in this, hands down, is him and his dad in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, that's real life stuff.
Which
you know,
is
you,
just
yeah, it's heartbreaking
when they start laughing at the end. Oh my god, it's yeah, that's
one of those things where you just think, wow, that's a wonderful scene.
I think Billy Bob Thornton does great work in this movie too, as a sleazeball.
As showing up and kind of giving dirty looks to them. I mean, really, they don't give him enough to do. That's my point with this movie, is that it's too sprawling and it's so unfocused, you know, on what it wants to be, you know. And really, I mean, you're kind of at a detriment at this point in hiring Robert Downey Jr. because. Are you hiring Robert Downey Jr. or are you hiring Tony Stark at this point?
Yeah, he is getting too smarmy for his own good.
He just is Tony Stark at this point. That's it. That's all he is. There was nothing more in this movie other than that.
Well, Johnny Depp at least will change roles or characters, personas, and he's not.
Sure, and I also
he's not doing that.
I mean, I hate like the Vera Farmiga stuff in this. Which I love her, but I hate the idea that he shows up and then. You know, why does he have to be divorcing his wife? And why is there this extra drama placed on this that doesn't need to be there?
That's all extraneous.
Then he goes back there and then he finds his old girlfriend and then, you know, makes out with, you know, whoever, whatever. I don't want to ruin it for people.
What you just touched on is the major miscalculation in this movie. The reveal of who that person is that he made out with. And then,
but it's so inconsequential.
Exactly. Why is that? That should have been cut. I even said that in my review. That all should have been cut from the movie. But I thought the courtroom stuff was compelling enough to warrant a recommendation. Good. I thought that did Vall and him have two or three, including that bathroom scene, which is the best scene in the movie. There's another scene where they're in the in a kitchen, and he's talking about how he never went to his graduation. I think that works tremendously well. The very last scene on the boat is too fucking precious. I hate that scene with a bit of honey. When the father passes just beautifully, I hate to warn that, but it's coming from a mile away. I just thought that was too precious for its own good, but I liked so much of it up to that, including I'm a sucker for father-son movies. I mean, always have been. So I should say that at the top of this, but that was already leading me into liking this. But I agree with you and everything you're saying. I can't defend it too much, but yeah, you've said a lot of valid points about the movie, but I think the major miscalculation is plot with Vera Farmiga. Yeah, it's too much. Yeah,
she's great. And, you know, Leighton Meester's great as her daughter. Obviously, Dax Shepard's great. I think he's underutilized.
He's great in this movie, but he should be in more movies.
I love him. He's really good. Vincent D'Onofrio's in this. He's really good. But they don't use him really to any degree either. But yeah, the scene. This movie's worth watching just to get to. If not, I mean, just I don't even know how you would find it, but just fast forward to the scene with him and his dad in the bath, and because it's one of those scenes that should be dissected in film school. You know, it's like, wow, build the tension and then break it. And it's so real.
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone's cared for anyone going through that disease, you see the realism in that scene in a lot of ways. So it's a heartbreaking. But let's move on and talk about Walter. What is Walter? Is this the one with the guy with the bag over his head, Michael Fassbender?
No, the bag over his head?
What is this?
Walter is about a guy who works at a movie theater who's a ticket taker, and he believes he is the son of God, and he's Earth to decide the fate, you know, whether you go to heaven or hell everyone that he meets.
I wanted to see this. How was this?
Oh, it's a wonderful premise. It is a shitty movie.
Oh, man. That's
and disastrous. It falls. Yeah. The problem with this movie is that, like most independent films, it tries to be emotional rather than interesting, you know.
And so I'm what glad happens is
the
up.
Premise I just told you the premise, right? Sounds great. Yeah, that's not what this movie is. This movie's about a dude who lost his dad. He's fucked up in the head, and that's what the movie's about. So it tries to be emotional, and it tries to open this his world up to you through these things, and it's like why use the premise at all? You know, why not just, it's a movie that you sold on a great idea that is just like every other fucking indie film. You know, I don't need another movie about someone, you know, having or losing someone in their life or having some emotional moment that makes them create a fictional world.
Can I stop here?
Fucking point.
When I saw Love and Mercy, I saw three trailers in a row that were these indie darling just, I mean, and I have no problem with independent films. But when it's the shit like you just described,
but you
I mean,
don't want
and
the
Me, Earl, and the Dying
right?
Girl is one of them. Yeah. Diary of a Teenage Girl is another one of them. Learning to Drive is another one of them. And I'm just watching this and I'm like, this is the same preachy, didactic bullshit that nobody outside the festival circuit gives a fuck about. I mean, this is the kind of shit
they don't even care
where people will say about the Oscars,
circuit.
Oh, those are movies that nobody even watches. Because it's like this is the kind of film school drivel that you don't have to see just because it's stamped important and it thinks it's important. I'm telling you, I hate that shit.
I don't
and
like
I love independent film
where they come up with a great idea and then it's all in someone's head.
That's a cheat.
You know, it's such a yeah. It's not you're not really pulling the rug out from under me. I figured this movie out 2 seconds into it. I thought, oh Jesus Christ, they don't even try to hide it. It's really just, it's not good, you know, and it could be great. What if he was the Son of God? What if he was really trying to figure this shit out? What, and then how would he deal with that? Okay, that sounds like a great movie to me. But just taking it and making it some base thing, I don't know, very few people can do that, in my opinion.
You're saying great concept, bad execution, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, there have been obviously people, you know, Charlie Kaufman is wonderful at doing this, at taking a very basic idea. But he doesn't fuck the world up, you know, around it when he does that. He builds the world out. He doesn't tear it down by saying, oh, it's just this basic thing. He never says that to you. He lets you figure it out, you know. So, and this just tears it down. It basically says, oh, well, he's crazy.
You watched no Ouija, good. Which I think is crazy. How did you think about that?
I like that it's called Ouija with a W.
Yeah, right?
Ouija. This is about a bum that Ouija's people's.
I thought it was about a squeegee. I thought you were cleaning windows professionally.
Yeah, he does the windows at the gas station, right? No.
Or Ouija. I thought maybe some sushi rolls.
This is Ouija. This movie got horrible reviews.
It did very well at the box office, though, for getting such shitty reviews.
It did, but it got horrible reviews, and they are warranted, because this is fucking horrendous.
Is it really? Is it drivel?
It's so bad. It's PG-13 drivel, too. It's just your basic, you know, there's a Ouija board. They use it. Someone
scary
dies.
Noises on the soundtrack.
Ooh. Oh, Jesus. It's bad. It's not even scary at all.
Excuse me.
In any way whatsoever.
Half stick over here.
But, yeah. Scary wannabe jumps, this and that, but you know, it's not good.
Yeah, this like less.
I don't
talk
even
want to
explain
that, the better.
It. I mean, if
yeah, don't even. I don't even want to fuck. I never want to see this movie. I have no. We'll just move
it
on.
It tries
because I'd rather know what's going on with the Inbetweeners Part 2. Because I love.
Have you seen
one.
This?
I know. I'm dying to see this. Is this good?
They go to Australia. It's not as good as. It's probably the worst of the Inbetweeners, but I still thought it was good.
It's worth watching still. And this is an English show about these kids who are constantly trying to screw. They're like horny teenagers in English, but they're funny right. Shit. And it's on Netflix. They did a movie, and this is the sequel.
If you haven't seen the show yet or the first movie, definitely watch it.
The first movie's good.
It's worth it so much. This movie, you know, I'm gonna say Hangover 2 to you.
Mm.
And that's what this feels like. They beat the shit out of these characters in this movie, which they do in all the movies, but they redeem them. In all the movies, in the first movie, and in the show, right?
They don't
the
build
shit
them back
them,
up, yeah.
But they redeem them in this movie. I mean, they really they do some nasty shit to them. It's funny, but it's also unredeeming. Just
is it mean spirited really, in a way?
A bit, you know, because it rehashes a lot of the old things that they've done to these characters, and then leaves them. Just out to dry, you know, just nothing, you know, and still, I mean, I get the point. They still have each other in the end, you know, which is kind of, they're so fucked up. The only people that are ever going to get along with these four fucking idiots is going to be each other, you know? But at the same time, you know, it's rough to see characters just have the shit kicked out of them and then be no better off than they were to begin with. Actually, worse off. You know?
I think Hangover Part 2 is an adequate description.
That's exactly
that's
what I thought of when I watched this. I thought, oh, if Jason saw this, he'd be like, this is like Hangover 2.
Which is why I hated Hangover 2. You know?
Yeah, so I don't... But I still liked it because it's these characters still. I like these characters. but it could have been better. If they do make an In-Betweeners 3, I hope they do something more like along the lines of the first movie. But, you know, if you like these characters, I encourage anyone to watch this show.
This show is great.
Or the movies as well. It's one of the few things that comes out of, you know, straight out of Britain that you don't need. I think everyone would relate to this. You don't need to remake this. You know, you don't need an American version of the In-Betweeners.
What about the Box Trolls? This was one of two claymation or animation type of Adventures of the Book of Life and Box Trolls were released very close together and did about the same box office wise.
CGI.
Oh, was it CGI? Okay. This is claymation or stop motion?
This is stop motion, possibly the last, you know, for a while. Released by Focus.
How's it look?
Well, it looks great. I mean, stop motion is amazing.
Isn't it? Yeah. Even the Coraline stuff, all that stuff's very, very nice to watch.
Issue with this is that I'll nitpick because I have the eye to do this, but there were moments when you realized, oh, this is running at half the frame rate. This is sped up here. This is, you know, we've run out of money.
Yeah, a little cut in corners here and there.
Which happened on this movie, as far as I understand it.
But what about story-wise?
For the most part, really good. The story is actually pretty decent for one of these. It's okay. You know, I don't particularly... My problem with the stop-motion things is that the stories are very foreign. And they just don't... They're not Pixar stories. You know, the reason Pixar and Disney has been doing so well is because their stories are just better. You know, and this is a very weird story. I will say... This is maybe one of the last times I'm ever going to say this, but Ben Kingsley is fucking awesome in this.
Really?
Just hands down. As the bad guy, as Archibald Snatcher.
I love that name, Archibald Snatcher.
Archibald Snatcher. Bro, it's the best fucking character I've seen in a long time.
If you ever get beef with anybody on the internet and his name's Archibald Snatcher, you know it's this man right here.
You won't even recognize it's Ben Kingsley. It's that good.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hands down one of the best performances, voice-wise, that I've heard in a long time.
Better than when he was the Mandarin in Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah. Truly, it's truly amazing. You might not even I didn't recognize it. I had to see it and thought, wow, that's a really wonderful performance. Fortunately, it's in The Box Trolls and not in, you know, something...
Something worth it. It'd be widely seen. Yeah. Pixar movie. Yeah. Like Despicable Me 3 or something like that.
Right. Or Prince of Persia. I don't know.
Oof. So, oh, God. I forgot that even existed. Did you have to bring that one back up? It's been years.
Just swallow it down. If a little bit of throat comes up in your mouth, just swallow it back down.
Oh, I almost threw up watching this movie. Let me talk real quick about my streaming online pick of the week this week. It's on Netflix streaming Valhalla Rising. You ever watch this?
Why did you pick it if you almost threw up?
Because it's so freaking mesmerizing, I couldn't stop watching. This is a Nicholas Winding Refn movie, the guy who did Drive and Only God Forgives. And it's a Viking movie told in six parts. Stars Mads Mikkelsen, who played the villain in Casino Royale, who's on Hannibal on the television show. And he is a Viking who is a mute, deaf Viking who is an absolute fucking savage. And this is the closest thing I've ever seen to the original Conan, but really it's Conan influenced by Jordowski's El Topo. You'll see a lot of a lot of Jordowski elements. I mean, rest in peace, our late friend Jerry would have loved this movie beyond belief. It's the most violent, disturbing Viking film you'll ever see. And for whatever reason, I was really turned off by Only God Forgives. And everything that doesn't work in that movie works in this movie because they're Vikings and it works for the time period. When people are in the highlands of Scotland, I should say, so they're not technically Vikings, but they believe in the Norse gods and there's Christians coming in and it's mesmerizing. I'm telling you, I highly recommend anyone to watch Valhalla Rising on streaming.
That's fairly old,
it's
too, isn't
bizarre.
It?
Yeah, I know. I'm glad I stumbled into it. It's absolutely bizarre and mesmerizing.
Stumbled into it.
You got a pick for the week? You recommend anything on streaming?
I don't know. I already said Zombievers. I don't know. Laggies is on Amazon now.
You like that one quite a bit, huh? I've
seen that one. That was very good. I don't know. I mean, watch Halt and Catch Fire, people. If you haven't fucking seen that, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, Halt and Catch Fire is the show to watch right now. A&E original, Birth of the Computer. Watch it. Yeah. Let's go into the Trailer Addict.
Well, let me. I've lost the thing. I found it.
Touch the captain just once, right?
Yes.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
You know, we rub the captain's head for good luck.
I engage. That's what he says every time. Engage and turn him down. All right, so today's show, we have a slew of trailers. We have Everest right at the top. Trailer to me is the best looking. I can't wait to see this movie. This looks like a sensory experience in every sense of the word, and I want to see this badly.
I'm just excited in general about our trailers this time around. And yeah, I really want to see this. This looks great.
Great use of sound design.
We had talked about, you know, K2.
Great fucking,
I don't know,
movie.
Off the air, obviously, but this is... This could be the new K2.
Could this rival K2? The terrible 1991?
I don't think so, because it doesn't look as silly and stupid as K2, or which is half the love as really as K2. Oh, Vertical Limit fucking sucks.
That it
does. Let me compare that shit to this, but, I mean, K2, half the fun is that, you know, those characters, which are just horrendous. You know,
K2 was a play, to be fair, that they'd made into a movie.
But a good movie.
About, yeah, exactly. It is a good movie. But
150 minutes. 150 minutes.
Oh, wow. Is it really?
Does that hurt you at all? Yeah. See, that's the
not
thing.
Not if it's as intense as this looks, because Everest, that time might fly.
I don't know. There's nothing to do. You climb the mountain. You go to base camp. I don't know what the fuck else you do. 150 minutes. What do? You're on Everest. I don't actually want to... You know, live on Everest. I don't need the week long fucking trek.
Get yourself a Sherpa.
So I don't know, but yeah, the trailer.
I'm all in on this one.
Trailer looks amazing.
I think most of the trailers on today's show, to be honest with you, I can't wait to talk about this next one as well. The Martian, the new Ridley Scott film with Matt Damon.
So good.
As an astronaut who's left behind when Earth, our astronauts leave Mars, and he is the last one stranded, and he must take care of himself. This looks like...
It's Apollo 13, right?
But it is, but
to
it
a billion degrees.
Mixed with I Am Legend / Oblivion, the one man left on the planet alone.
I know. I love the whole, like, the analogy of people coming together from afar, you know, to help one person. You know, it kind of plays into the whole... When you think about sci-fi and stuff, this is something that comes up a lot. And, you know, even Spock, you know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. You know, this kind of is, you know, that's a Spock thing, and it's logical. But this is the human side of it, the logical side of it, where a group of people are going to put up their lives to save one guy.
I leave no man behind.
I love that. Yeah, I just love that about this trailer. It looks great.
The thing about this trailer that I found curious was that they just pretty much used the interstellar cast. They're just pretty much the same cast. I just felt like, is this like when they weren't filming Interstellar, they just said, hey, come over to this lot. We got a couple of we'll steal a shot or two.
I don't know. Jessica Chastain wasn't in.
Was she not the daughter? Who was the daughter?
I don't know. Was it Jessica Chastain?
I thought it was the daughter.
It might
have
been. You might be right.
Yeah, you fucker. It was.
Well, the Invisible Woman wasn't in.
Well, neither was Red Belt, but I mean,
well, there you go.
Hey, Dumb and Dumber 2 is in this fucking movie too. So.
Oh God! All right.
The Program is the next one on today's show. This is the Lance Armstrong story, starring Ben Foster and Chris O'Dowd.
Can this movie be good?
I think this looks excellent. This trailer.
Oh no, the trailer looks fucking amazing. Can the movie be this good?
I hope so, because this is...
That's what I don't get about this. This trailer looks awesome. Hey, Ben Foster's fucking awesome. Chris O'Dowd looks great. Dustin Hoffman looks great in this. The cast goes on and on, but... I mean, Lee Pace is in this, talking about Holt Catch Fire. He's in this for a second.
Yeah, I can't wait to see
how
this.
How did they cut such a great trailer?
I don't know, because I wasn't expecting much. This is directed by Stephen Frears, the guy who did The Queen. And
great director.
Yeah, he really is a great director, but not something that I would put in kind of a sports, modern sports tragedy arena, but he seemed to have really killed it with this. And Chris O'Dowd, who I never really took 2, for whatever reason, I just don't, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. But in this trailer, his persona and his,
I like Chris Adel.
I guess his kind of ingrating nature works for an investigative reporter.
The IT crowd, yeah.
Yeah, and he was also in Bridesmaids to a large degree for people. And
A lot of movies, really.
But this trailer looks fantastic. And Ben Foster, they've done something with prosthetics.
He looks weird, doesn't he?
To make him look a little bit off. But he, along with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who we'll talk about here in a second, are really coming into their own as terms of quality actors.
I've liked Ben Foster for so fucking long, and I'm just glad.
He's always been an intriguing presence.
I wish that, he would be in more stuff because he's surprisingly good. He's intense, you know?
Yeah. Very intense presence on screen. So I can't wait to see that one. And The Walk we have, which is based on a documentary that was done years ago of the guys who tightrope walked across the Twin Towers.
Talked about Eastwood. Is not Zemeckis kind of following in step with that?
Zemeckis is doing...
I mean, with Flight and then now The Walk. Isn't that kind of an Eastwood stride there a little bit?
I think this has great commercial potential, though, is why Zemeckis
wants
to
do it. Sure,
it
looks great, too, but... My point is that it's very Eastwoody, is it not? I mean, no one's really making. Yeah, well, I guess that's not true because.
See, I think this is right in Zemeckis' wheelhouse, though. With he's got the human story, plus he can do the technical dazzle. You know, the 3D element of
which I think comes off of really bad though with the Zemeckis stuff lately.
I think that in this trailer though it works.
Looks good though.
And I saw this trailer in a theater in 3D, and it made my stomach queasy. And I know how this movie, you know, I know the true story, so
sure.
I know how it ends. And
everyone should know how it ends.
Big secret there, you know what I mean? He makes it. If you haven't seen it, see Man on Wire, which is the documentary that preceded this film. And I think that's streaming as well. That's a great, great documentary. Highly recommend that. But what do you think of this trailer? Are you with this or the comedic elements?
I'm with it. I'm down. I think it looks great. But again, I don't know. Flight was so fucking, I thought was horrible.
I didn't take
it. I'm really worried that Zemeckis is going to, you know, fuck up the human aspect of this.
I thought Flight was bad, though, because of that weird subplot they had with the alcoholic lady he was living with, the rehabilitating lady, and that whole
thing was weird. It was directed poorly, you know, him doing the jaw thing. The whole thing was just felt undirected, really, more than anything.
I thought the best thing about Flight was John Goodman, to be honest.
Yeah, John Goodman's always good, though.
All right, next we have The Man from U.N.C.L.E. We talked about the teaser trailer a while back. Now we have the feature trailer.
I'm excited. Might I like a Guy Ritchie movie?
Really? I think this looks fucking horrendous.
Really? I think you're out of your fucking mind. I think this looks better. First of all, where the fuck are the James Bond movies that look like this at this point? You know, this looks great. I'm ready for it. James Bond than any of the other fucking Craig shit James Bond movies.
Maybe it's because Henry Cavill still looks so much like Sterling Archer that I can't get
it. He does. Like, I think ridiculous. It's great. But no, I love. Man. Oh, it's great. I'm ready for Henry Cavill. I really like Armie Hammer, and I think he looks great in this. I want to see it. I'm ready for it.
I can't believe this is the Guy Ritchie movie that's going to convert you, because this is the one that I'm staying away from.
This is the Guy Ritchie movie. This Guy Ritchie fucking sucks. I'm never going to have an argument about Guy Ritchie because he's a piece of shit and he directs like shit. So
this reminds me of The Avengers. Do you recall that? The 1998 movie, The Avengers. Not the superheroes. The Ralph Fiennes, Uma Thurman one.
Sure, not Sean Connery.
Based on the old television show.
What's his name was in it? Ralph Fiennes. Yeah, you're right.
And this has that kind of wacky fucking spy throwback thing.
No, I disagree. It's not that silly as that one. No, and you just said you liked the fucking Kingsman. Oh, but this is not good enough for you.
No, this is too English.
I think this looks good. English. I think this looks more James Bond than the past few James Bonds we've had.
I don't know. I'm not feeling it. For whatever reason, I liked the teaser trailer better than this trailer. This full-length feature trailer.
Well, the teaser trailer was practically the same thing.
Yeah, but I just thought the jokes here fell flat, and I thought the villains were nothing. I don't know. I just didn't take to it.
Okay.
What about Rock the Casbah, which is Barry Levinson's latest, starring Bill Murray and Bruce Willis?
Again, I think this looks good, but I'm sure you think it looks horrible.
No, I actually don't mind this. It just reminded me of Looking for Comedy in the Muslim World that Albert Brooks
loved, which I love. That's a good movie.
It reminded me of that, though. The trailer, tone of it.
This is far more dangerous of a movie than that. He's more... That movie is very, you know, he's a Jew and he's kind of there and he's like, he doesn't really go out very much.
Well, I mean,
this movie is far more involved.
This is like Stripes compared to that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But the idea that they're taking it to like the religion and American culture mismatch, and that
the cast is great in this, and
The idea that Bill Murray and Danny McBride are going to ride around Afghanistan,
I
can't wait to see.
Yeah, I really like Bill Murray in this. This feels like a Bill Murray movie, and he hasn't really made very many Bill Murray movies in the past. You know, he's been doing a lot of, I don't know, artsy things, but not that this isn't necessarily artsy. It kind of is, but I don't know. It feels more on the comedy level than anything else. And he's got a few lines in here that are very Bill Murray lines.
And that he kills. I mean, he nails both of them. So, I mean, I
when
thought
he says right back at you, babe. I just thought, oh, Jesus
that's a Bill Murray. That's Bill Murray. That's right fucking. There. Is that a Ghostbuster right there? You got a proton pack? What's going on there? Yeah, I mean, Bill Murray to me should always have a cocktail in his hand when he has a line like that. But moving on, let's talk about A Deadly Adoption, which is the Lifetime film starring Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig. Now, before we go into this 20-second trailer they're showing, this movie was made on the secret that they're releasing. It's a comedy drama thriller. So it's directed by a girl who
Rachel Goldenberg,
who has worked with The Asylum.
Well, I was going to tell you, I know, and that's what I was going to say about this, is that once The Asylum broke into Lifetime movies, it was just a matter of time.
Right? They got Will fucking
Ferrell. It was just a matter of time.
Well, it's written by Andrew Steele, who wrote Casa de mi Padre. So Will Ferrell, and he's a writer for Saturday Night Live, so they have a rapport, obviously, with the cast, but what the fuck is this thing?
Well, it's about a couple who they take in a pregnant woman, and their hopes are that they're going to be able to adopt the kid when she gives birth. And she's fucking crazy. And obviously Will Ferrell is just acting like Will Ferrell, which I don't understand.
Kristen Wiig has a gun.
And she, So you watch this and you think, wow. What were the real people like? This is based on a true story, apparently. What were the real people like? Because they obviously made no intentions. They had no care whatsoever to actually recreate this in any way that's believable.
Yeah, nobody vetted the script here, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I saw Beautiful and Twisted a while back with Rob Lowe and Paz Vega, and she, this was based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And that had kind of the same comedic over the top elements to it that this looks like it might have.
I've seen a Lifetime movie. Asylum ones, and they're really not bad. So, but this is wildly different than the Asylum movies, which are very serious. This almost doesn't look serious at all.
This is like a spoof, almost like a parody in a lot of ways. So we'll know more when this comes. This is only a 28-second trailer we're talking about here, but if you haven't seen it,
the 20th. So.
Yeah, it's coming out next week. So Lifetime movies, A Deadly Adoption, Will Ferrell, Kristen Wiig. It's peculiar, but it is happening. They've made it a Lifetime movie. It's not a rumor. It's out there. It's bizarre.
I wonder what this movie cost. You know,
does
it cost nothing?
They made this on outtakes, on off days from everything else.
Right.
He did this while he was doing a spring training run around. It's bizarre. I mean, this whole thing. I can't believe they actually did this.
I know. It's
like a
very
LARP.
Weird.
Like, did they lose a bet to somebody? I mean, what the fuck? I don't know. Well, that wraps up episode 273. We want to thank you all for joining us on this episode. We'll be back with you next week with an all-new episode. If you haven't done so, go to our back catalog and listen to any of our former episodes. And we got some retrospective. They have the True Lies retrospective and the Batman retrospective on there as well if you want specialty episodes. I want to thank you all for listening all around the world. We want to thank you for your emails. We'll continue to keep the show going. So like us on Facebook, iTunes, and anywhere else you're getting your podcast. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com/warp9. Engage!